Oh my Lord, we have made it to the Super Bowl of the Houston Rockets offseason. We have made it to NBA Draft Lottery 2022. My name is Mike Brown. I expect to be joined by the GOAT here shortly, Jeremy Brenner, my co-host, my wonderful running mate. I cannot even tell you how nervous I am. I've been thinking about it all day. Had a wonderful lunch that was on my mind. Worked a full day. It was on my mind. Where do the Houston Rockets end up this evening? And I bring up that gentleman I just referenced before, Jeremy Brenner, co-host, The Dream Take. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Mike. Happy holidays is what we'll call it.
Happy holidays. It's not as great as Hanukkah.
Maybe.
Well, potentially. Potentially. It is not the 4th of July, but it's up there. If you're a Rockets fan, this is the Super Bowl. This is the Mecca.
Definitely, yes.
How are you feeling? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 just being unreal nervous, like where are you right now?
You know, honestly, Mike, I'm at a 5. I wouldn't say I'm on your level. I wouldn't say I'm at a 0, though. So I'm going to go with a 5, considering you're at a 10.
Yeah,
in the middle.
James says, biggest night of the year so far for the Rockets. Lucas says, one season of torture for all of this. Jacob says, go Astros, who are up 9-1. It does deserve mentioning. I don't understand how you're at a 5. Is it just me or is it a little weird that Paolo Banchero is at the lottery? That's weird.
They're all at the lottery. Like it's okay. Not just him. I think a lot, but yeah, I mean, it's an important night for the Rockets. I feel like maybe I'm not as amped about this one just because I'm a little bit busier tonight than I was the last time we did this, but also like
it's fair.
At least the last time we did this, you know, there was significant consequences if things had gone dangerously wrong. Whereas tonight, yes, I think the Rockets need to be in the top 3 at least. Obviously, you want number 1, but 1, 2, or 3. Is the ideal scenario here. If you end up with 4 and 5, yes, it's a disappointment, but it's better than not having a pick at all, which was last year's consequence.
That's fair. Are you a little upset that the interviewer on ESPN right now does not think that they're interviewing Patrick Mahomes, or are you okay that they are actually interviewing Paolo Banchero to be Paolo Banchero?
You know, it's interesting because I don't even know if Paolo Banchero is going to be the number 1 pick. It's kind of interesting how this is going to turn out because it all depends on who gets ahead of the Rockets, right? If there are teams like Orlando that gets ahead of the Rockets, like Orlando and the Rockets are pretty much looking for the same players. Detroit is also probably gearing more towards a big than they are a guard. But I believe, like, there are other teams that don't necessarily have to go for, like, Oklahoma City probably going for, I mean, yeah, actually, a big's obviously going to go 1. I think it's really hard to see a team that doesn't take a big number 1. And I'm looking at all the teams, like, I guess if Sacramento ends up with the number 1 pick, I think that could be, like, a weird scenario where maybe they don't take a big, but like Indiana needs a big, OKC needs a big, Detroit, Orlando, Houston all need big. So I'm curious to see how this turns out. But also, like, I don't think that this year's lottery has that much weight on everything because they're also, if we look at the guy, like we knew last year, number 1 pick, you're getting Cade. We knew that. So there was a lot of weight on that lottery. Today, it's either Banchero, it's Jabari Smith, it's maybe Chet Holmgren. So there isn't as much, I don't know. There's just not as much excitement on this one as there has been in lotteries of the past.
Do you have, I mean, a gut feeling where the Rockets are going to pick tonight? Like, or what pick they're going to be awarded tonight?
I'm going to guess number two. Okay. I think we're gearing for another number two pick. I don't know why number two speaks to me. Maybe it's because we had it last year. I just feel like two is kind of the sweet spot because it actually, honestly, I think the two pick would make for the most interesting lottery result because if we're number one, well, we have every option, right? If we have number three, well, we're going to take the best player available out of the top three. But at number two, we have to play along with whoever is number one, but we also get the choice between two out of the three. So that would be, I think, the one route where the Rockets would have some kind of intrigue. It'd probably be the most intriguing storyline where we're looking at where we have to rank guys and we have to look at what the team ahead of us is doing.
I have a feeling. I felt this way all day that we're getting the number one pick in the draft. I don't see us coming out of tonight without that being the realization. I felt this way for a while, you know? And I don't know, man. I will say this. I know you're going to hate this. I will be so disappointed if they don't get the number one pick tonight. It's overall number one or bust for me.
I can understand that, but yeah. I also think, Mike, it depends on who – because the thing is there is no consensus number one.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
– I know I don't want Chet Holmgren. Like, if we get the third overall pick and we're left with Chet, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be upset.
So you think – so that's what it is. You think that there is a gap between Jabari, Paolo – and Chet. Like, I feel like a lot of people, if they're building tiers from this draft, they're going with they go with Chet, Paolo, Jabari, all in the top three.
Yeah.
But for you, it sounds like Chet's in a tier below Jabari and Paolo.
I think for the Rockets, it's
for the Rockets. Okay.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
well, here's where this draft is so intriguing to me and so weird and what I'm about to say. So if it doesn't make sense, let me know. If I'm the Rockets, like my big board is Jabari, Paolo, Chet.
Yeah.
But fit wise for the Rockets, it's Jabari, Chet, Paolo.
Interesting.
And what I mean by that is I think who's a better player in the NBA, I think it's Paolo over Chet. But with this Rockets roster, no one has been able to give me a legitimate fit for Paolo Banchero on the Rockets. He doesn't make any sense. You already
mean?
Like, unless you move on from Christian Wood, unless there's a succession plan for Wood, why would you draft Banchero?
Well, that's the thing, Mike, is this – that's who probably watching this draft closer than anyone is Christian Wood. Because
yeah.
If the Rockets were to land in that top three, you're looking at getting a guy to basically replace Christian Wood. If they draft number four or number five, Christian Wood might feel a little bit safer in Houston, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fair. I just – the thing with Banchero that I continue to come back to is he is 6'10", right? He's the same size as Jabari, but he's 30 pounds heavier than Jabari. Christian Wood and Banchero are very similar players to me. Like, you don't know what they are. They're not a rim-defending big. And you could argue that Şengün is a rim-defending big. Like, if you draft Jabari, I know exactly where you play Jabari. He fits like a glove on this roster. If you draft Paolo,
you have Şengün, Wood, and Banchero. All three play a similar style. None of the three guys can defend the rim. But at least Chet has a chance at being a rim defender in the NBA. That's why Rockets fit-wise, I put Chet over Paolo. But ultimately, I think Paolo is the better NBA player than Chet.
Okay. I can vibe with that, Mike. I agree with that. But I think also, too, you know, the Rockets kind of played the system with who they had last year, right? And they used the pieces that were given to them in the puzzle to make whatever they made. And obviously what they made was not worthy of what they're actually going to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get Jabari, then you stay for the rest of – you can play very similarly to how you did in year one. But with Paolo, there might be some adjustments. But if those adjustments aren't too much of a pivot in the wrong direction, then, yeah, you want to take the guy with the highest ceiling. I think we've seen in the past too many teams have taken players that are not – like, I don't want to necessarily draft fit over talent, because we've seen in the past, you know, a great example, 2018 – the Suns needed a big. They went DeAndre Ayton instead of Luka Doncic. And I guarantee you the Suns are probably regretting that decision right now.
I would say so.
So that's – you don't think so?
I said I think so.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's another really interesting
point that I want to bring up with you just real quick prior to the draft. Do you allow – the potential adding of a piece via trade or free agency impact what you do with your top pick? And I bring up this question because it's pretty clear that DeAndre Ayton is gone from the Phoenix Suns. So if you're the Rockets and you end up with the number one pick and you're staring down who you trade for, A, do you feel like the Rockets would be a good fit for a guy like DeAndre Ayton, which would take you out of the Chet Holmgren sweepstakes? And do you allow that idea of having a shot at a guy like Ayton, you know, potentially veer you in the direction of a guy like a Jabari Smith if you were to land the number one overall pick?
The only reason I say no is because the draft happens before free agency. So it's okay. Difficult to tell who the Rockets are going to necessarily get in free agency before the draft.
Sure.
And yeah, you can probably. But also at the same time, you can take where the Rockets are right now and say, okay, well, we have Christian Wood next year. We can use him as a trade chip in free agency and some kind of sign and trade, whatnot. And then you're looking at a scenario where you have flexibility. But I think for the Rockets, I think you just have in front of you. And I think you have to take the best player available at whatever pick you're at. And whether that's one of the top three, whether that's Shadon Sharpe, whether that's Jaden Ivey, I obviously I'm a little bit against Ivey compared to everyone else, just because I don't feel like Ivey would – I'll say this. Not that I don't think Ivey could succeed in Houston, but I do think that there are other places where he is a better fit. And I also think that his agents are probably going to – try to skew him away from Houston only because his potential in Houston would not be as high given the fact that Jalen Green and Kevin Porter are in that backcourt.
Yeah. And we're coming up on it, y'all. It is now 7 o'clock on the nose, and we are going to be giving you every lottery selection here at the Dream Shakes, the Dream Take. Great room right now on Spotify Green Room, or Spotify Live, I should say, Jeremy. Do you buy into any of this publicity of draft picks liking certain posts from different guys on different teams as like a inkling on where they want to go? I've seen that pop up on social media, and I think it's the biggest waste of time ever.
Yeah, I do see a little bit of it. Okay. Not as much as, say, not as much as the backdoor, what's it called, relationships that other people have. Like, I think Paolo might like some Rockets posts because he's from Seattle. He's obviously good friends with Kevin Porter. He has, been close with Jalen Green. Jalen Green's talked about him in to the media. So there's several different avenues here where it could play a role. I don't necessarily think that liking posts on Twitter is the end-all be-all of that, but sure. I do think that I do think there is some relevance into. I don't think it's something sure. that we should totally flat out ignore, but at the okay. same time, there are probably a couple more. I'd rather take a news piece where I hear from an insider or someone say, oh, Paolo had a draft visit with the Rockets and he was, and they seem to really get off. Like, I would take that over a like on Twitter.
Are you against or pro the representative for the Rockets on stage tonight being the general manager, Rafael Stone?
Look, it doesn't matter who the representative is. Let's be real.
No, I'm with you. I would have gone in a different direction.
Because I just saw on the screen that the Cavs guy has a lot of luck or whatever. Like he was the representative at a couple of the drafts where the Cavs got number one and they shouldn't have. I kind of honestly hope that if the Rockets don't get that number one pick, that we have some chaos tonight.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a team I don't know. I would kind of like to see a team like – how funny would it be if, like, the
– Don't say it. Don't – if you're about to bring up the idea of another team getting the number one pick, don't.
But how funny would it be if the Sacramento Kings got the number one pick and
it wouldn't be.
Mike Brown decided to screw it up for the Kings?
That's fair. I mean, they're the Kings. They would screw it up.
Or what if New York got the number one pick? Like how – I don't know. That'd be kind of crazy. They have a 2% chance to get it.
I would have said, if I was the Rockets, I would have sent Calvin Murphy. That would have been my guy.
Yeah, that'd been fun. That would have been pretty
cool. Murphy would have been great because the suit game would have been just ridiculously great.
Yeah. What team, Mike, do you not want to see get that number one pick? What team would you hate the most getting that number one pick?
The Lakers.
The Lakers can't get that pick, though. Technically, it would go to New Orleans.
True. I don't know. I mean, probably Detroit would be the team that angered me the most, just because back-to-back years of number one mm-hmm. just feels wrong. It feels dirty to me. Sacramento would be up there too because they're just hot dog water. Like, just terrible ownership. You know, that doesn't deserve the number one pick. Mm-hmm. New Orleans would probably be. You know what? I'm going to change it. My number one pick would probably be New Orleans, because if New Orleans lands that number one pick, watch out for New Orleans next year. Although Zion will probably eat his way out of the roster. They probably have a pretty low ceiling, but that would be scary if they got it.
I think personally, Detroit getting that number one pick is the most worrisome if they get ahead of the Rockets. I think Orlando, not as much, because I think if Orlando gets the number one pick, I really do think Chet Holmgren could be the number one pick, just because I know that him and Jalen Suggs played in high school together, and I think that they need a kind of guy that could be a bit more of a ceiling raiser. I feel like Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, those guys are going to be like second or third options in the league. I feel like Chet, if you put him in the right position, if you put him in the right situation, there's potential for him to be like probably the main number one on a team.
He'd also be number two. Yeah, he'd also be an interesting fit next to Jonathan Isaac in the front court.
That would make for a scary defense. And I think what we've seen in these playoffs is how important having impact defenders is. And yeah, that would make for quite a defensive dynamic duo between Isaac and Chet Holmgren.
So let's say that were to happen. If you're the Rockets, let's say they get number two and Chet goes one. You, Jeremy Stone, if Chet is off the board between Boncaro and Smith at two, who would you take?
At this point, obviously, like, I've done surface level research. I haven't studied these prospects all that much just because I don't want to necessarily research guys that are not going to be in the range of the team that I'm following.
Sure.
I would say Paolo just because I think there's a little bit more upside, but I think that they're going to end up with a really good player regardless. So that's another thing too, is regardless of these results, if they can land in the top, even if they land four or five, honestly, they're going to get a good player. So we should be happy about that. Obviously, yes, some players provide more, upside than others. And yes, you want as high of a pick to ensure that you have the best chance moving forward. But look, they're going to get a top five pick in this draft. And in a draft that isn't as strong, getting a top five, so you're guaranteed to get one of the better players in a not so good class. So
part of me thought
I think they'll be okay. Yeah,
part of me thought that you were going to say neither. I would take Shadon Sharpe, Kentucky.
You know, Shadon Sharpe is like, he's obviously a developmental project. And I obviously, we've seen what's happened with, you know, Jalen Green is someone who didn't play in college, how that worked. But we've also seen a scenario with a guy like James Wiseman didn't play in college and how it didn't work. So I think there is a bit of a risk there. The thing is, when Golden State took Wiseman, they had a reason. They were able to take a risk because of the team that was around them. The Rockets had reason to take a risk with Jalen Green over Evan Mobley. Yeah. I don't know if the Rockets are really in a position now to take that kind of a risk again. I think that this pick, which whatever they pick, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, is going to be a pretty safe pick. And I really do think that if you take any of these three guys at the top, it's a safe pick at the top three. Now 4 or 5, maybe they go for a guy like Keegan Murray, someone that could kind of give him some intrigue at the four. I also could see a scenario where if they don't get into the top three, they could trade down. I could see that scenario happening because
how far would you be okay dropping?
Maybe to the middle of the lottery. Not too far, obviously. Yeah. But you know, like, because that's the thing is, the top three is the top three. But the value of guys between 4 through 10, in my opinion, are pretty even. So if they do end up with 4 or 5, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to strike a deal, just because the Rockets have never been a team to like shy away from trying to make deals. So I think that they would try at least to listen to the phones and try to figure out something, unless they really like a guy in that 4 to 10 range that they don't feel like they would be able to get.
I just don't know who
that person is at this point. We still have 6 weeks to figure that out.
Yeah, I do feel like up until this point as well, at least on this show, we have not given Keegan Murray enough love. Mike Schmitz, who's one of the analysts for the draft on ESPN, just named him the 4th best prospect in this draft. So interesting name to watch. Here at the Dream Take, we will be breaking down any and all relevant prospects as it pertains to the Rockets. Don't forget, they do have the 17th pick as well in the NBA draft coming up later this year. So we will be talking about all prospects all the time from now until the draft. But tonight we are focusing all on the NBA lottery. I don't know, man. I'm getting more nervous as it gets closer, Jeremy. How do I want to ask this? I don't know, man. It just seems a little weird to have the top three guys at the lottery. Do they do this every year? I think they've done this.
I think it's a relative I can't remember fully, but I feel like it's a relatively new thing. Obviously, they didn't have them last year for COVID purposes and yeah. the year before that. So I don't see a reason why it shouldn't be. I think it's I know it's always kind of a prelude to the conference finals or something like that. So
you know what's coming, though. Something
that's not new.
What's you know what's coming.
What's coming?
Is whoever gets the number one pick, they're going to do a live video in of the three guys and the way that their facial expression is adjusted based on who gets that pick.
Yeah, and honestly, I think all three of those guys should want to come to Houston. I think that...
Okay, let's explore Houston, that real quick. Why is that?
I think Houston's a very intriguing place for any of those three guys. I think that Houston has a history of bigs and a legacy to uphold, and if they were to be a top three pick for the Rockets, I think that that would be like a continuation of the legacy, if you will. So I think that there's a chance that, like, and look, seeing where the Rockets are, you know that they're building something. And I think that, and Houston's a great city to live in. I don't see why people wouldn't want to come to Houston. I think
so. Let me ask you this.
They know something's coming here.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Rank these top four. If you're any one of the top three guys, whether that's Paolo, Chet, Jabari, if the Rockets land the number one pick, rank these teams, if you're the top overall pick to the Rockets, which of these guys would you want to team up with the most, right? So I'll give you the top four teams. That will be Jalen Green with the Rockets. So if you're Jabari Smith, which one of these guys would you want to team up with most and rank them, Jeremy? Jalen Green in Houston, Suggs in Orlando, Cade in Detroit, or Giddy in Oklahoma City?
Chet Holmgren would say Jalen Suggs first.
Okay.
But other than that, I'd probably say Jalen or Cade.
Okay. So Giddy comes in.
Giddy would be, yeah, okay. Just because, I don't know. But another thing too with Oklahoma City is, like, you could go be a star in Oklahoma City. That's like, they don't have a franchise cornerstone yet, per se.
You don't think Giddy's a cornerstone?
Well, I think I don't think he's the face of the franchise at this point. Like, I think Cade and Jalen are the faces of their respective franchises. I don't think that OKC really has. So if you're looking for a place to go be the face of the franchise, I'm choosing Orlando or OKC. But gotcha. If I'm looking to join a team and, like, kind of, you know, if I'm looking to join a team and be part of something special, be like a role player, which is, I think, a lot of what, like, a plus role player, which I think a lot of these players at the top project to be in the NBA, as like second or third options on a championship team, possibly. I think Houston and Detroit get you there quicker than Oklahoma City and Orlando.
Yeah. Plus, if you get drafted by Oklahoma City, you have to live in Oklahoma City, at least during the season. And that, you know, I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right, Mike, I'm going to let you talk because I want to make sure I'm all set. I'm going to stay up here. I'm just going to mute myself. But
absolutely,
I'm going to let you take over because I think we're about to start here.
It
looks like they're about to start. I have it on mute, though. That's why I want to hear it, but I don't want the sound coming in.
Absolutely. If you guys are in the Spotify Live room, Jeremy and I will take some instant reactions from you guys. Right after the lottery is over. So we are going to be your home for post-lottery instant breakdown analysis. Jeremy and I will talk about the pick, where the Rockets end up, where they should go, yada, yada, yada. But we do want to hear from you. So text your friends, text your parents, text your family members. Get them to Spotify Live right now so we can talk all things Houston Rockets and NBA lottery. We will break down each and every pick as they come across my screen. So I believe I'm a little bit behind on my feed, but as they come in, we will talk about it. Rockets fans, we have been pained over the past season, two seasons, however you want to look at it. The Rockets could make up for it tonight
by landing the number one pick in the draft. They have the best odds along with Orlando, Detroit. Each have a 14% chance at that number one pick. Oklahoma City comes in fourth with a 12.5% chance. Indiana with a 10.5% chance. Looks like we are going to get going here in just a second on the NBA Lottery 2022. I honestly could just throw up. The representative for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Anderson Varejao. For the Charlotte Hornets, Mr. P.J. Washington. P.J. looks good. He would look good as a Houston Rocket. For the Knicks, William Wesley, Vice President, Senior Basketball. For the Washington Wizards, Wes Unseld Jr. For the San Antonio Spurs, the fourth best big man in the state of Texas, David Robinson. For the New Orleans Pelicans, Swin Cash Canal, great basketball player, phenomenal player in her day. We are looking at moving to the next team. They're spending a large amount of time on Swin Cash. For the Sacramento Kings, they send Domantas Sabonis. For the Portland Trail Blazers, Mr. Damian Lillard. God, that dude's a stud. Would look good as a Rocket. For the Indiana Pacers, Kelly Kruskopf, assistant general manager. Good to see her up on stage. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, Nick Collison. Good to see Mr. Nick Collison. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen Nick in the NBA circles. Always good to see him. We got to be rounding out now. For the Detroit Pistons, Mr. Richard Hamilton. Rip Hamilton looks good, too. Let's see. Who do we have? We should be Jamal Mosley, the head coach of the Orlando Magic. And for your Houston Rockets, the general manager, Mr. Raphael Stone. And here we go, baby. All right. There's a gentleman walking across the stage, bringing out the official cards for the caller. Oh, guys, here we go. Here we go, baby. All right. Moment of silence for my guy, James, who wanted a moment of silence for the ping pong gods. Please, dear God, dear Lord, basketball Jesus, please let the ping pong balls fall in the way of the Houston Rockets. I beg of you, please allow the Rockets to get the number one pick. Here we go. Number 14, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number 13, the Charlotte Hornets. PJ Washington does not look happy. The number 12 overall pick, the Oklahoma City Thunder. With the 11th overall pick in the NBA draft, the New York Knickerbockers! Yeah, their guy doesn't look happy either. Tom Thibodeau, who's probably in his last year as the Knicks head coach, so enjoy that. Number 10 overall pick goes to the Washington Wizards. The number 9 overall pick goes to the San Antonio Spurs. Ha ha! Suck it, David Robinson! Number 8 overall pick goes to the New Orleans Pelicans. The anticipation is killing me. Slowly. Number 7 overall pick goes to the Portland Trailblazers. Enjoy being back in the lottery next year, Damian. That means it looks like that the Sacramento Kings will get the number 4 overall pick. Number 6 overall pick goes to the Indiana Pacers. So I take that back about the Kings. Well, it does. Let's let it play out. The Detroit Pistons with the 5th pick! Ha ha! Let's go! Ha 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 ha! The Pistons are picking number 5! That means, baby, the Houston Rockets are in your top 4 picks! The vibe is immaculate. The Detroit Pistons are picking number 5. Woo! Oh, we are going to a commercial break. The Houston Rockets have solidified their draft selection in the top four. We are now at a commercial break. Okay, so they are not at number five. That is absolutely spectacular news. So now that it is this close, Rockets fans, the number one pick is right there for the taking. I can taste it that much more. Like, I'm not trying to get my hopes up. If they were number five, I honestly may have just ended the show and asked Jeremy to just come back on by himself, because something would have been broken here at my house. A computer screen would have been flipped over. A cup of water would have been tossed across the room. Like, now we can just taste it, right? Again, this is the same feeling we had last year. I am begging for this not to be deja vu, for the Rockets to get this close and then get the number two overall pick. Like, would I be happy with number two? Yes. I would be happy with two. Would I be ecstatic over the moon with two? No. Like, I wouldn't. I'm nervous at this point. Like, I'm dying of just, the top four teams. Just to give you guys a quick look at it. The Rockets, the Magic, the Thunder, and the Kings. Those are the top four teams left in the lottery. I am nervous. How was everyone's day? If you want to throw in the comments, did you have a good day? Did you have a bad day? Did you have a great day? I feel like I'm rambling a little at this point, but that's fine. That's okay. We're just trying to pick up dead time. Actually, you know what? Instead of telling me how your day was, go ahead and comment. Who do you guys have tonight in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals? Boston, Miami. With the injuries that Boston has, I think Miami wins tonight by at least 7 points. I actually think Miami is going to win the series, and they're going to the NBA Finals to play the Warriors. And I hope Miami destroys the Warriors. I hope Dallas beats the Warriors too. For people who are like, well, who are you rooting for, Dallas or Golden State? You're a Rockets fan. That's an easy selection in my eyes. You root for the Dallas Mavericks. As much as that hurts, I respect Luka's game. I like Cuban. I like Kidd. I like that team. I like Spencer Dinwiddie. I hate the Warriors. So I would definitely am rooting for the Dallas Mavericks. So I've got Warriors Heat. Unfortunately, I'm going to go Heat in six. I think the Heat defensively would frustrate the hell out of the Warriors, and I think they win that series. Come on, man. Like, in what world does it take this long to get back to the NBA lottery, ESPN? It's terrible. I mean, just terrible. So we are still at the commercial break. Dan Peterson says, suck it, David Robinson made my night. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I dislike Alex Caruso more than David Robinson, but it's close. And anybody who wants to argue, I say at best, David Robinson is the fourth best big man in the history of the state of Texas basketball teams. You can't put him ahead of Dream. You can't put him ahead of Dirk. And you can't put him ahead of Duncan. So he comes in at least fourth. It looks like ESPN is back. So it looks like we will be revealing live here on the Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast, the top four picks for the 2022 NBA draft. We are heading back to the middle of the screen. Oh, man, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be so sick. The number four overall pick in the NBA draft. Oh, God, it's us, isn't it? Oh, God. Woo! Sacramento, fourth overall pick. The third overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. The Rockets! Oh, my God. Oh, God, I'm going to be violently ill. Oklahoma City with the second pick. And the Orlando Magic get the number one pick in the draft. Oh, God. I'm going to be violently ill. I mean, like, violently ill at this point. I mean, that's like, this is the greatness of live podcasting, I guess. The Rockets end up with the third overall pick. Oh, I am so angry right now. I'm pissed. I'm furious. I guess and if you guys would like to comment on this, depending on how many speakers we have tonight, we are going to ask you guys to keep it pretty quick. We are going to try and keep this podcast right at about an hour. So we've got about 20 to 25 minutes to talk about this. If you would like to come up on stage, hit that request to speak button, as we would love to hear your thoughts on this outcome. The Rockets end up with the third overall pick in the NBA draft. I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, how are you not disappointed with this? And I get, like, the sentiment of, yeah, Michael, you're in the top three. You're going to end up with, you know, either Chet Jabari or what's it called? Whoever the other guy is. First speaker request, Sean, good friend of the show. Sean, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm really not that disappointed, and I'll tell you why. I mean, it really depended on who hit above us. I really do think Orlando will take Chet. I mean, I think that's almost a done – that to me will be a done deal. Orlando will take Chet. Then it's really up to what I see OKC doing, and I really see OKC leaning more towards Ivy, even maybe potentially Sharp or Bancaro. This, I think they need for as a power forward goes, they need more playmaking, and Bancaro's the playmaking four that I think they would go over. They would take over Jabari anyway, and Ivy, you know, never know. They may see a Westbrook clone in Ivy, and that's where they go, or they take Shadon Sharp, and they don't care if they suck next year with Sharp trying to play to three, because at the end of the day, they're going to tank for. You know, they're going to do another tank job for Wembanyama anyway. So I don't know if Jabari is necessarily the guy for them. Like, I really could see more of a Bancaro or Ivy. Yeah. So to me, I'm not really that disappointed. It's three. Like, I didn't want to slip the four or five. I think at three, we can get – I think we can get exactly who we wanted.
I think the good news – I mean, this is why I love doing the podcast, like – as it's going on, because you guys get raw feelings, right? When Jeremy comes back on, you know, he'll give his, you know, immediate feelings as to what he saw when I saw three. Like, to me, my immediate feeling was two straight years of being the worst team in the league, having the worst record in the league, and you don't end up with the number one overall pick in either of those lotteries is just mind-numbing to me. Now, they end up at three. You make a really good point, Sean. I think Orlando is going to go Chet. Just the Suggs connection there, the need for him there. And, mock draft, according to Jonathan Givony, they have Jabari Smith going one to the Magic. Chet goes two, and Paolo goes three. I think Chet is going one, just my immediate thought. I think Oklahoma City – I don't think Jabari makes sense there just because they just took a guy in Josh Giddey. They're similar type of player, so I don't think they go Jabari. I think you're right on there. If the Rockets end up with Jabari Smith at three, I'm happy. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
It just – like, it's such a sinking feeling getting the third overall pick if I'm the Rockets. Like, it just – it sucks. It sucks. Like, I'm not happy. You know, I get why some people are happy because you're going to end up with one of those three. But, you know, and we'll get into this. Sean, any last comments before I move on to Jeremy real quick?
Nah, man, I'm just – thanks for letting me up. And,
absolutely.
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be optimistic that Jabari falls, or that Detroit makes us some godfather offer to take him for some reason.
I got you. We appreciate you, brother.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, man. Moving back to Mr. Jeremy Brenner. Jeremy, your immediate thoughts.
This is a win for the city of Orlando.
Yeah, this is exciting for you. I mean, your boots on the ground. Are you in Orlando currently?
I am.
Are there people parading in the streets, either shirt on or shirt off, yelling, "This is their, we want this is shit. Their
championship."
Okay.
No, I'm playing. I'm
okay.
Playing.
What know, I mean,
yeah. Obviously, I'll speak from a Rockets perspective. Obviously, this is not what you want, but the Rockets do get that top three pick, which is, you know, they'll get a guy that they could use, but they kind of have to let OKC and Orlando play the game, and they have to kind of be happy with whichever player that they don't take, which obviously puts the Rockets – like, the Rockets are basically in the exact same position the Cavs were in a year ago that the Hornets were in 2 years ago. You know, the top three has always kind of been kind of its own tier, and the Rockets now, we get to kind of just play the waiting game, which is, I guess, less stressful maybe just because you kind of just – let other teams do your work for you. I don't know. Yeah, I think for the Rockets moving forward, not the best outcome, but certainly not the worst.
Yeah, I think it could have been. I think it could have been a lot worse. Let me start that off. But you can understand, like, the fan side of this show hates this. Like, this is awful. This sucks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not just something to be thrilled about, considering you have the opportunity to get number one. But there's, you know, it's a matter of, like, it's ping pong balls, Mike. Don't get mad at ping pong balls.
No, I'm not. I'm more mad at this just reinforces the idea of hating the tank. Because it just, it's not a guarantee. Like, you're leaving it up to ping pong balls is what you're doing. And ever since the team... or ever since the NBA went to the flat odds, this just reinforces my thought process that go get better. Like, I'm tired of the rebuild. I'm tired of it. Like, go get legitimate assets and stop playing the draft game. It's now not once. It's now twice that you've had the worst record in the league and you don't end up – like, you were
– I mean, Mike, come on. Like, it just like sucks. Like, what we're not going to do is we're not going to act like Jalen Green is a bad thing for the
team. No, it's not. He's not. But I'm just saying that for the people out there that are screaming from the rooftops, be as bad as you can this year to try and have a chance at Wembanyama, those people yelling that as loud as they can need to settle down a little bit, I guess.
But also at the same time, Mike, you also have to take into consideration the fact that the number one pick is also not a guarantee to pan out either.
Sure. That's fair.
You have to pick the right player.
That's true.
And especially in this year's draft where the top player isn't exactly a knock in the park, you know?
Yeah.
Look, the Magic are going to get a really good player at number one. The Thunder are going to get a really good player at number two. And the Rockets are going to get a really good player at number three. It's all about how they develop them, though.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You can make an argument. You can make an argument for any of those three players being the best player in this draft.
You can. I mean, so immediate thoughts on 1, 2, 3. What's going to happen?
You know, I personally think that you go. I think Chet has the inside track for number one. But if not Chet, then probably Jabari. I'd say, like, I think there's a scenario where Paolo is the third pick, and I think we'd be happy. I do think Jabari has a better chance to be drafted, though, before three. Mm-hmm. I think Jabari has the best chance to go top two than any of those three, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What do you think is the worst possible outcome? And I know this is a loaded question because – and you've said this, and I agree with you, that you're going to get a really good player at three.
I think the worst possible outcome is you get Chet. Only because I just don't know if Chet can be a solid contributor to help us get better next year.
Yeah. Do you think a trade down is possible?
No.
Okay.
Unless you're getting some – crazy deal that you just can't say no to, but I don't see that happening with this group. I could see teams trying to trade up. I'm sure there definitely will be, considering there is a drop off after number three. Mm-hmm. But I don't see what the Rockets would necessarily trade for exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I definitely think they're going to get a really good player. That's the intriguing part of this draft. And make, you know, every, you know, Dream Take podcast your number one home for all things Houston Rockets, because we are going to break down all of these prospects in depth as we get closer to the draft. It's so crazy because I don't know where those top teams are going. You know, I mean, I don't think Orlando's going to go Boncaro just because they have Jonathan Isaac. Why would you take Boncaro? I think they need size up front. I could see them going Chet. I think that they could use a Jabari Smith, but it just, I don't know, man. I don't see them taking Jabari either with Isaac. You know, Isaac is that guy for them. I think he's a damn good player. So I think Chet is going number one. I think Oklahoma City is the wild card because I think Oklahoma City could do a variety of things. I think they could be the team whenever Jeremy's free again, you know, to talk about, you know, Oklahoma City, I could see moving down slightly if they can pick up another draft pick or another player. Because I think even if they move down to five, they're still going to get an impactful type of guy. So yeah, I think if there's a team in the top three to trade down,
it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The top three is better than the rest of the class. There's no reason for anyone to really trade down unless, like I said, there's some crazy offer that a team just can't refuse.
Sure. No, I mean, I think that's totally fair. What guy do you think best fits what Steven Silas is trying to do offensively? Do you have a guy that would immediately impact offensively? Because I think defensively is where this team needs to take a step forward. But if you're Steven Silas and you're looking at the board, do you think Steven Silas has a preference of any of the top three guys that he would most likely want most to fit into his offensive system?
The thing is, Mike, is I just don't feel like that question is relevant because Steven Silas won't get to choose.
You don't think he's gonna have any say on the pick? I mean, I hope not, because
he's gonna have a say in the pick, but the choice will be probably made for him. That's what I'm saying. Like,
sure.
The three teams in the top three, Orlando, OKC, Houston, should not be considering anyone outside this top three.
Rockets fans are going to
overreact to all of this over the next 6 weeks because they're going to say, oh, we need this guy, we need this guy, we need this guy. But the decision will be made for us. Let fate make the decision.
So let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If Jabari and Paolo are off the board 1-2, which I think there is a chance that it could be, if you're the Rockets, do you think – any sort of time on taking Jaden Ivey over Chet Holmgren?
No. Why?
I think he would be a very interesting pairing with Jalen Green.
Yeah, but...
And I'm not sold on Holmgren.
I'm not sold on Ivey.
Would you give any sort of thought to either Keegan Murray or... Just your immediate thought. We'll obviously break this down.
No.
Okay. I was going to say Keegan Murray or Shadon Sharpe at three.
No. Why? Like, I wish someone would tell me, like, the Rockets need a big. It's like everybody knows it. And look, the Rockets should be honestly really happy if they end up at Chet Holmgren because he is a guy that can be your rim protector. He's obviously going to need a little bit of time to get to that point, but he is a guy that can be your future center if you play things right. So, and honestly, I think he's he's the weakest of the three, only because I don't think he can contribute as much next season. But down the line, I do think that he could have the best career out of the three. So, look.
He could be Sean Bradley.
Rockets are going to get, I'll ride behind whoever. I'm glad the Rockets aren't. Like, there's not going to be this infighting between the Mobley mob and the Green Gang at this point. We're just going to sit back, chill, let the other team make the selection for us, be extremely happy with who we get at number three, and move forward.
That's fair. We got two calls real quick, Jeremy, and then we'll wrap the show up. Let's go to our first speaker, Shane. Give me your good friend of the show, Shane. Give me your immediate thought on the pick. We don't have much time, but give us your thought. Shane going once. Shane.
Sorry, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. So I was going to say, man, I think I did the worst impossible listening to your podcast before. Not that you did anything wrong, but you got me so hyped for the first pick, man, and you would just say that, like, it's an absolute failure if we don't get the first pick. And then because we got the last seed the last 2 years, and then that's exactly what happened. And that's all that could come to my mind, man, was just like, oh, man, like, last seed 2 years in a row, and we don't get the first pick.
Yeah.
My first thought is like this
stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. I think Jeremy is right, though, and I think over the next 6 weeks, Jeremy is going to have to talk me into getting excited about the third pick. The bottom line is they are going to come out of this draft with a really good player. But it's just it's a little defeating, I guess, is what we could say about tonight. Any final thoughts before we move to our last speaker of the night, Shane?
Oh, no, I was just going to say – I guess it does take a bit of the stress out of, like, oh, who are we going to pick, like, and, like, trying to decide between the three. Because, like, let's be honest, like, there's been a lot of good arguments, I think, every way for picking either Banchero or Smith or Holbrook for a top three pick. So I guess now we might as well just chill because we're just probably going to end up just taking one of the three whoever's left, right? Like, it's pretty unlikely we'll take Ivy or Sharp, so... I'm actually kind of chill in a way because it's like there's nothing we can do anyways unless we want to trade up. But I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah.
That's fair. Shane, be easy, my brother.
All right. Take care.
We'll talk soon. All right. Let's go to our final speaker of the night. We'll go out to Sugarland. LB, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the pick?
I got to tell you, I'm pretty happy that we're picking three because – this way, we don't have the pressure of taking Sean Bradley's son, okay? That's a good thing right there. We don't have to, unless the other two teams, you know, we might get stuck with him, but I don't think the pressure is near as much if we had one or two that, oh, my God, you got to take Holmgren. I think Holmgren is going to be, he's Sean Bradley. I don't know if we need Ivy or not. I mean, that's just another guard. But I think there's a couple of bigs out there that if we don't get the kid from Duke, that I think we should be looking at. So I'm happy as heck that we don't have the pressure of taking Bradley like we had the pressure back when we had to take Yao Ming. So anyway, great show, guys.
We appreciate you. Well, if you're happy, we're happy.
Thanks, LB.
I mean, I think that's fair, Jeremy. I think he actually brings up a decent point before we wrap the show up.
Who's Sean Bradley's son?
Well, that's fair. Sean Bradley did give the Rockets organization.
Is that Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Well, I mean, they might take Chet Holmgren. That's a thing that we really need to wrap our heads around. There is an idea, like, getting Chet Holmgren is a very realistic possibility at this point.
That's fair.
Look, I think Rockets fans, the best advice I can give you is study the prospects and all that, but don't like go in and like back a guy because at the end of the day, you have no say in who that guy is. It's Rafael Stone's say, it's Jeff Weltman's say, and it's Sam Presti's say. So just go to sleep, wake up in 6 weeks, on draft night, and be really happy with who they take at number three.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, I think LB made a good point that the one positive to being number three is the pressure is now off of you.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I think they're going to take one of those three guys. I think the likelihood that they take somebody else, I think, is there. I think it does need to be explored. I think – Shadon Sharp train is going to pick up some steam because I think
yes, but you know what? Sacramento taking Shadon Sharp makes so much sense, though. He just sounds like a Sacramento player. And honestly, if he goes to Sacramento, I don't think he's going to work out.
No, because I think they need to get rid of Buddy Hield if they do that.
Well, Buddy, they did get rid of
Buddy. Not Buddy Hield. Who's the other shooter that they have?
DiVincenzo?
Not DiVincenzo. I'm thinking of somebody else. Anyway, continue. They're going to get a good player.
The question is, who is going to trade up? Who's going to try to trade up? And who would offer a lot to trade up? Personally, I just don't see it in this draft.
Yeah, I
don't think these three players are can't miss prospects, and it's a weak draft class at the top. So
I can see the Lakers trying to move up.
Giving the kitchen sink to get one of these three guys when the next year is, I just don't see it happening. And maybe Detroit. Yeah, I guess Sean's saying Detroit. Maybe they make a swap with Houston. But
yeah, you want to talk about a team, man?
Like, I don't see why Houston would take like a Luka trade where they go 3 for 5. I mean, that's a very historically a common trade in NBA history. We've seen Kevin Love and O.J. Mayo back in 08, obviously Luka and Trey in 2018. So that's happened before. I just, like, unless they're, like, super high on Shadon Sharp, which I just don't see. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see why that would make sense for the Rockets. The Rockets want to get better, right? So the Rockets are going to take a guy that makes them better sooner, and
obviously
so the top three guys are more talented than the rest, so you take one of those three guys. But look, if the deal probably would end up being 3 for 5 and a first round pick next year, I just don't see why Detroit would give up a future first when it's probably gonna be pretty high in a better draft for Jabari Smith. I just don't personally see it.
Well, especially since they have Jeremy Grant, and I think
Jeremy Grant's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. It wouldn't surprise me if Jeremy Grant's played his last game with the Pistons. I think he could get traded in the offseason.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I mean, initially, Jabari Smith doesn't make a lot of sense for them. I like Paolo Banchero to Detroit. I think he would be an interesting fit there. But we'll have time to break down all of those things.
I'll leave it at this. Best case scenario, Orlando really does want to pair Chet with Jalen, and the Rockets end up with Paolo or Jabari.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's my hope. I think Oklahoma City's a wild card, because I can see Oklahoma City just shaking the entire draft board up. And if they're going to eventually move on from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they draft Shadon Sharp. I am that high on Sharp. I think Sharp is going to shoot up draft boards. I could see Oklahoma City potentially taking Sharp at 2. I think that's the wild hot take of the night for me.
Interesting.
So, well, we're going to leave it there. I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship, as the great Jeremy Brenner would say. Thank you all so much for being a part of our live studio audience here on Spotify Live. Jeremy and I will be back together here on Spotify Live on Thursday night to break down more of the NBA lottery, what it means for the Rockets, what it means for their draft outlook at both number 3 and number 17. If you are on Twitter, head on over to The Dream Take. Give us a follow. Follow The Dream Shake, the mother ship of The Dream Take, at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, at
Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner.
You can follow me at BSW_MB. Also, head on over to thedreamshake.com on any day that ends in Y to follow all things Houston Rockets all the time. We will see you guys Thursday night. And until next time, Rockets fans, go!